question I have for you, my friend, is the following. We know Yom Kippur is coming, so of course we're going to talk, trying to prepare ourselves. The more you prepare for the Chag, the more you're ready. The more your soul can receive the light that's coming down. So here's the question. Is Yom Kippur a scary day? Or is Yom Kippur a happy day?
The most happy day.
Wow, we got a happy group here. So why? You guys got to explain.
Because it's an opportunity of the year that God comes and really forgives us all. Maybe we don't have that opportunity all around the year, and that time He comes down and
back. Awesome. So we heard one beautiful answer from
Sharon.
Sharon's teaching us that it's an opportunity. It's in time of forgiveness. It's an opportunity to get forgiveness. So she says it's therefore a very happy time. Excellent. We'll get back to that soon. Yes. But when you don't eat, you're not happy. Okay. They say that the tzaddikim, when they finish their meals, they finish their Yom Kippur, they would scream out, "I'm hungry!" Someone would bring them a little piece of bread, a little drink of water. They say, "No, I'm not hungry for water. I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for Torah. I'm hungry for mitzvot." And they go learn an extra hour, and then they break their fast. I have a rabbi, my rabbi, Rav Yair. Every Yom Kippur, we had a custom. We would learn a little bit of Masechet Sukkah right after the fast. So, could be. Bezrat Hashem, one day we'll get to the level. But in the meantime, you're hungry. Okay, I hear that. It's a good point. So if you're hungry, maybe it's not so happy. Any other ideas? What else?
עם השם, אז אם ביום כיפור אנחנו כמו מלאכים, אנחנו עם המלך.
So you hear the beautiful answer that we're hearing from?
Cecilia.
She's teaching us two beautiful ideas. One, she's saying, maybe the reason we're not eating is not because we want to hurt ourselves, inui, which is a simple explanation, but rather because we're angels, and angels don't eat. Right? And we want to get to the level of being totally malachim, totally angels. And why do we want to be like angels? So she's saying that the melech is basadeh, Hashem is in the field. It's easier to feel God's presence during this time period, particularly on Yom Kippurim and Rosh Hashanah and this entire Aseret Yimei Tshuva, where we say, Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, you should search out for Hashem when He is found. Right? And so, Cecilia is teaching us that that's another reason why it's a time of happiness. Because we're like angels. Beautiful, beautiful answers. Awesome. Anyone else want to add anything? Or? Okay. Yeah? No. Okay. So I wanted to explore a little bit deeper, but you guys are mamish right on track. I wanted to explore, in the words of Rav Shlomo Karlibach a little bit. You guys have heard a little bit of Rav Shlomo Karlibach? So we have his sefer here. It's actually an exact quote from a speech he gave. So I'm going to read it inside to kind of get his flavor, get the way he, get his neshama. So, Yom Kippurim mitpalelim im harbe simcha shira verikudim. Like you guys said, it has to be done with a lot of dancing, singing, right? Of course, in other places, it's not like that. I'm sure that you guys have been to places that are Yom Kippurim, scared, shaking. And there is an element of that. It is the day of judgment, right? Our din, our gezerot, whatever is going to happen to us, the entire year is being sealed on this day. And so you can understand why in many synagogues, in many places, it's the days of awe, it's the days of fear. But comes with Shlomo, and with Mechadish, actually based on Chassidut, and it seems like you guys are good Chassidim, you've heard a lot of these ideas, beautiful. It says, no, it's a day of singing and dancing our way into the Book of Life. First I tell them in a very simple explanation. תארו לעצמכם שאני חייב לבנק $10 million. Right? I owe the bank $1 million. Or $10 million. Bad matzav. ואין לי איך להחזיר את זה. And I have no way of giving this money back. Right? Hopefully none of you guys ever felt it, but... ופתאום, אני מקבל מכתב מהבנק שלא רק שאני לא צריך לשלם, אלא שהם גם נותנים לי הלוואה חדשה של עוד $10 million. Not only does the bank say you don't have to pay, but they're going to give me a new loan of $10 million. Am I not going to be happy? Am I not going to dance and sing? תגיד לחברים, האם אני אסתובב ובכה על זה שלא שלמתי את החוב בשנה שעברה, am I going to go cry about how I didn't pay my dues from last year? מה אתה רוצה? הבנק אמר שהם אוכלים לי ואפילו נותנים לי הלוואה חדשה. The bank's telling me they're getting rid of my debt. So why shouldn't I dance? Shouldn't I sing and dance?
Right? You speak so fast.
So I'll explain slowly. I'll explain very slowly. Thank you for starting with that. So Rav Shlomo is explaining that imagine I have a $10 million debt that I owe the bank. I owe them $10 million. And then they write me a letter that I am getting rid of your debt. You don't owe any money anymore. And not only that, we're giving you another $10 million as a loan. So am I going to be sad about how I didn't pay my debt? הם אוכלים לי על כל הכתב שאני אומר לשלם להם, ואומרים לי, טוב, תן, קח עוד $1 million. בסדר? So I'm going to be happy. So like we heard before, on the simplest level, we know that Yom Kippur is a day that the Torah promises, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper alechem. On this day, God will atone for your sins. He's going to get rid of any debts we owe. All you have to do is what? Tshuva. Sincere tshuva shlema. And God gets rid of your debts. So that's explanation number one as to why this is a happy day. Okay, are you with me? Everyone with me so far?
Yes.
Now let's go a little deeper. A little bit stronger to Cecilia's answer. She taught us something deeper, that we're like angels. What does that mean? If you look in the Torah, the way that it describes Yom Kippurim, you would think, how would the Torah describe it? This is the day that you get forgiveness, kapara. And you have to do tshuva, right? But actually in the Torah, the way the Torah describes it, if you look in the Torah, 37 psukim about the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash, about the Kohen going into the Kodesh Kadashim. And then finally, at the end of it, they say, why does the Kohen go into the Kodesh Kadashim? Because your sins are going to be erased. So it seems like the focus of Yom Kippurim is not just that I get my sins erased, but it must be there's something else. Something else is the focus of Yom Kippurim besides just getting forgiven for my sins. And what's that? What's the ikkar? What is the main idea of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippurim, of all of these holidays? Like we were saying before, the main idea is, anybody have any ideas? Any guesses? What are we really celebrating on Yom Kippurim?
Forgiveness,
but then something beyond forgiveness. Something more than forgiveness. That Hashem loves us. In other words, that we are getting close to Hashem. That we feel God's closeness, that we feel very, very connected to Hashem. In order to feel connected to Hashem, what do you need? Kapara. You need forgiveness. You need purity. You need these barriers which separate me from God to be erased. But that's not the goal. What's the goal? To feel close. To feel like God is our Tati, our Ima, our Abba. To feel connected to Him. Okay? Everyone understand that? It's like, imagine I have my best friend. And we're close for many years. And then something happens. And I do something to him. He does something to me. And we don't talk to each other for a very long time. And then eventually I decide I want to make up with him. So I ask him for forgiveness. So of course I want forgiveness. But what's the goal? What do I really want more than just for him to say, I forgive you? What do I really want? his friendship, to be close to him. Exactly. Right? So in Yom Kippurim, we have to not forget, the goal is not just to get rid of the sins. Check, check, check. I say sorry. No, that's not what it's about. The goal is to feel like we have a renewed relationship with Hashem. Yes? And that's why the Torah describes when the Kohen goes into the Kodesh Kadashim, the Holy of Holies, that is the central, the biggest piece in the whole Yom Kippurim, because it represents the Jewish people being close once again to Hashem. Yes? And to me, what this reminds me of is my wedding. Right? On my wedding day. So everyone, when is a couple in Judaism married? When are you officially considered married? Some people think when you crush the glass. The truth is that's not it. That's not really when officially you're married. So when I take the ring and I put it on her hand, then that's called kiddushin. Then I'm engaged to her. But that's not nisuin. That's the engagement. But there's another step, which when you have your first night, it's actually a little bit before that. A little bit before that. No, not when you have a relationship.
Relation money.
Not the first kiss.
Or papers. Relation money or
paper. Right, that's for kiddushin, not for nisuin.
Okay.
So I'll tell you guys a new idea. Some people say it's under the chuppah, because then you're allowed to, they're when they are under the chuppah. But there's another opinion, and this is the main opinion, that they're officially married when they go into the yichud room. Into the yichud room. The room where after the chuppah they dance into a little room, okay, and they're alone together. Just when they close the door, they don't have to do anything. They can eat a piece of cake, but it doesn't matter. When they're alone together...
Well, there has to be an imam outside.
The imam are outside, but as long as they're not inside. So when they go inside that room, then they're married. Okay? So I remember. Exactly. Exactly. I remember when I was dating my... Guys... Guys, so when I was dating my wife, I remember for many, many months, we had been dating, and every time we wanted to have a date, we couldn't just be together in a room together because there's a law called Yichud. We're not allowed to be together, so we'd always have to have another guy be nearby or randomly stop in or, you know, hang out. And we couldn't be alone. And then, when was the first time we could finally just be alone and the door locked and no one else be around? Yichud room. So when you're in the yichud room, then you're officially considered married. Okay? Yes? Yes? So now, what's the yichud room between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Between us and Hashem? During the Yom Kippurim, and specifically during Ni'ilah. Very good. Ni'ilah. Because what is Ni'ilah? Generally, how do people understand? Ni'ilah is the final prayer of Yom Kippurim, right? The last chance. Now generally, normally, how do people understand, what does Ni'ilah mean? Why is it Ni'ilah? What's... Excellent, excellent. Generally, the normal understanding is that the doors of heaven are like closing, and you're like, I gotta get in, like, gotta throw my last prayer in there before the heavens shut down and Yom Kippur is over and I don't have a chance for forgiveness anymore. Guys, if we could try to keep the shmoozing until afterwards, it's all hard. So, normally, the doors are locking, I gotta get in, okay? But comes Rav Shlomo Carlebach and explains so much deeper. It's not that the doors of heaven are locking, it's that right now it's Ni'ilah. The doors are locked, and we are locked in with Hashem. We are in the Yichud room. The doors are locked closed. It's just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me and Hashem. And this is our moment of Yichud, of aloneness, of togetherness, of oneness, that after all those vidoys and saris, I finally can feel totally and utterly connected and one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem. You understand? And the whole process that we're going through now, of Asareti Me Tshuva, of the Viduyim, of the asking forgiveness from each other, all these things are just to enable us to really feel that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And the truth is, all of Judaism, according to Hasidut, is all about this idea of Dveikut. Of every mitzvah is another etzah, another advice, how to get close to Hashem. Right? If I do tzitzit properly, if I do tefillah, if I do... It's another angle, another way of being mitdabek, of getting to know Hashem, of getting closer to Hashem. It's like when your wife gives you all different, when you guys will find out, or your boyfriend, your girl, gives you all different chores to do. You do the garbage, you wash the dishes, you clean the bathrooms. These are different. These are different ways of getting close to your wife. Really, really, it's more than that. It's not just chores, but it's ways in which we can kind of get rid of that dirt, those things that are separating us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and help us feel connected, help us feel one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And that's Ne'ila, and that's what Yom Kippur is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a happy time where we can feel God's closeness more than any other time of the year. And I'll tell you a little story to bring it home. Okay? It's a beautiful story that also Shlomo teaches, based on Hasidic ideas. So, you guys are walking, and you go to the Rova Square one day, and what's your name?
Yosef.
And Yosef is walking, and he sees this girl. And right away Yosef knows she's his soulmate, no question about it. It's clear to him, it's definitely her soulmate. So they're schmoozing, and then something happens, a million people come, and she gets dragged back. She has to make the last bus back to her seminary, and Yosef has to go back to curfew. I don't know if you guys have curfew, whatever. And Yosef didn't even get her Facebook name, didn't get her number, nothing. The only thing Yosef knows is that she's his soulmate. So a day passes, and Yosef is looking for his soulmate, but he doesn't know where she is. And a week passes, and everywhere he's going, he goes to Ben Yehuda. Where is she? He goes to Tachaneh Merkazi. I can't find her. He calls all of his friends, all the different seminaries. Can't find her. A month passes, a year passes, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, still can't find his soulmate. And then one day, Yosef is driving his car. He made Aliyah, Baruch Hashem. And he's driving his car, and he drives right onto the train tracks. You know, he didn't realize they changed it. Now there's trains there. He's driving there. And suddenly, here, the police, the mishtara, pull Yosef over, and they say, Yosef, it's your third ticket. You're going to lose your license, and you have a court case. You're in big trouble. So Yosef says, I didn't know, I didn't realize, I'm from Mexico, we drive differently over there. So Yosef comes to court, he's really scared. He knows he messed up, and he puts on his best clothing, and he's so nervous, he doesn't even eat. He fasts, he doesn't eat food, he doesn't eat drink, and he writes a whole speech. And he's going to admit, I messed up. Yes, I did wrong. I'm sorry. Please, please, judge, don't take away my license. Don't take away my driver's license. And Yosef walks into the court. And who's the judge? Who do you guys think? It's her. It's the girl. It's Yosef's soulmate. Mazel tov. Oh, 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 yeah. So how does Yosef feel at that moment, my precious friends? How does Yosef feel?
Wow.
Is he scared or is he happy? He's happy. Right? Yes, it's judgment day. Yes, my fate is going to be sealed. Yom Hadin. But at the end of the day, I found my soulmate. So I'm so happy. And so ideally meaning... the best would be if Yom Kippurim, of course we're a little scared, Of course, we have to prepare, but mainly it's a day of simcha, of mitzvah gedol aliyot b'simcha tamid, of rejoicing, because this is a day where we can find Hashem, where we can find our soulmate, which is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can connect to God's presence on the high holy days more than any other time during the year, right? As long as we do the proper preparation and we do the tshuva that we need to do. If we do that tshuva, according to Chassidut, we can connect to Hashem on Yom Kippur greater than any other time period. Right? And that's why, what's the holiday right after Yom Kippurim? Sukkot. What's Sukkot in the Zman Simchatenu? Exactly. Right? Only once we've gotten rid of all that dirt inside of our souls, that separated us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we found our soulmate, then we can truly be happy and rejoice under God's tzel, under God's Shechina. Okay? So far we're good. We understand the two explanations as to why Yom Kippurim is Zman Simchatenu, is a very happy day. Yeah? Why? Explanation number one. Why is Yom Kippur happy? Who remembers? What is the bank doing on Yom Kippurim? Getting rid of it. It's getting michul, right? Getting rid of all of our debts. All of our sins are getting erased. All we have to do is tshuva, and all of our sins get erased. It's just the day itself. It's like dunking into a mikvah. You're like mamish going into this mikvah called Yom Kippurim. Excellent. Explanation number two. Why? What's the deeper reason, and why are we really so happy on Yom Kippurim? Exactly. It's a day when Yosef finds his soulmate. It's the yichud room. It's the ne'ilah. It's the day when we mamish feel close to Hashem. And the kapara is only there in order to enable us to get close to Hashem. Yeah? Good. Excellent. Okay. So now the only question is... Good. By the way, I'm Rav Keith. Nice to meet you. I live right next door. Actually, just finished playing frisbee and ran here. I teach at the yeshiva Oraita. So hopefully I'll have a chance to learn and hang out, chill together throughout the year. God willing. Anyway, so here's the second question that we have to ask. How do we do that? How do we do that? And I'm going to take a 30-second break because I need a cup of water. 1 second.
Have a cup. Okay.
Sababa.
Where?
Okay. Sababa. Okay. Chevre, so sorry for the break. So here's the question. I have a big question for you. Holy brothers and holy sisters, every year we do Yom Kippur, and every year, here's the problem. I make a list of all the things I did wrong, all the things I want to do better. And I look at my list last year, and I look at my list this year. It's not so different. And I could even print my list from last year and rewrite it for this year. And not so much has changed. So the question is, what's the point? Why are we doing that? Ah, Shamnu Ba, God, you know, like, and how do we change that so that I actually become a better person? Like, I actually become a little bit different. What can we do to make this year's Yom Kippur different than other times? And it was just, okay, we said a bunch of words and then we went back to our old
self.
Excellent. Okay. So guys, listen to your friends, because your friends really have deep, deep, deep insights. So the Heilige Rav Yosef suggests, first of all, after all is said and done and we do all the Hashamnu Bagadnu, make sure you pick one little thing, maybe two little things that you know you can accomplish, that you really, really want to accomplish.
You might actually really want to change some other stuff too, because you know that they're wrong and you know that you need to fix them. If you it is all for you. And even if you want to take the law, at the end of the day, you're
not. Excellent. Right. Very good, Yosef. You may want to change everything, but at the end of the day, if you don't have a practical plan as to how to make that happen, so then, and you're going to try to do 100 things, it might be too overwhelming. It might be too hard. Maybe some people can, if they're inspired enough, but usually it's wiser to pick one or two things and stick with that. Excellent. So, guys, while I'm teaching the rest of the class, okay, we have about 20 minutes left together. So, I'm going to do something crazy, and I want you guys to kind of think to yourself. You don't have to read this to anyone. This is just for you. You can already start thinking of ideas, of one idea, or perhaps two ideas, of something that you really want to get better about this year. One little thing that by the time next Yom Kippur comes around, you really, really want to be an improved person. So everybody have a piece of paper? And you can, while I'm talking, so you don't have to listen to me the whole time, you can start writing to yourself. And you can already start thinking of just one idea of one thing, maybe two things. So Yosef's first suggestion is take one or two small ideas, don't take everything. Excellent. Do we have any other ideas? Guys, you need more paper? More paper? Yes? Okay. Do you want some time to just think? I can give you guys a minute or two to think. Here.
Hago una cosa o dos cosas que chiquitas que quieras cambiar este año, pero que sean unas cosas que de verdad las vayas a cambiar. Por eso chiquitas, para que no vayas a poner algo muy wow que a la mera hora no lo logres. O sea, tienes algo que de verdad te vayas a aplicar en el año.
Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, excellent. Chevra, you're doing great. If you guys want to keep writing or keep thinking throughout the class, that's fine. No worries. So, I want to introduce another important idea to you guys. And that is the concept of vidui. Okay? Vidui, does anyone know what vidui means?
It's saying, what did you do? It's
excellent.
Saying your sins, actually.
Confession.
Confession.
This, okay? So the Rambam writes that one of the chalakim, one of the important parts of the tshuva process, is that it's not good enough to think I did something wrong, but I have to actually say it. I have to verbalize it. If I don't verbalize it, I didn't do the tshuva. It didn't count. And the Rambam even says it's not good enough to just read through the Siddur and say, no. You have to actually make your own list and speak out to God exactly what I messed up in. And say, God, I spoke Lashon Hara, I'm so sorry. God, I came late to the class. God, I was too harsh on Yosef, I made fun of him. I'm really sorry and I won't do it again. God, whatever. And you're really supposed to, in your own personal words, make up your own vidui, right? The text that's in front of us is just to inspire us, to remind us of things that a lot of people do. But the actual vidui has to come from my heart, okay? And so my question is, why is it not good enough to just think things? If God can hear our thoughts, He knows what we're thinking, why can't I just think, oh, I don't want to think Lashon Hara, and I'll think of a way as to not make sure it doesn't happen again. Why do I have to speak it out?
Because when you speak it out, you even, it's for you, it's not for the others to hear. You say it, so you hear it yourself saying it, and you, how do you say, you land the idea. It's not just in your mind, oh, I'm bad with these kinds of things. You actually say what it is that you did wrong, and you realize.
Excellent. Guys, we won't be able to hear each other when your friends are speaking. Please, 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 please.
Also because of the power of the words.
Awesome. So we heard two beautiful ideas here. We heard idea number one, Rav Yosef said, I think they're actually both connected. We'll give it 1 second, we'll get back to it. Yosef is teaching us that when you speak it out, you hear it. And you, when you hear something, it becomes more real for you and more likely that you're actually going to do something about it. And what's your name?
Miri.
Miri is teaching us also that there's a power of words. That when I speak something, when I verbalize it, like the dibor is related to davar. It becomes real. It becomes a thing. And when I don't speak something out, it's all in the head. I have a million ideas. It's just a thought. Only when I actually verbalize something does it become to life. Yes? You had another idea?
Yes. The world is built on words, no?
What?
The world is built on words.
Beautiful.
We say them, we make the idea of what we think, so we can build something.
Beautiful. Who built the world through words?
Hashem.
God, right? How did God create the world? He said, Vayhi Or. He didn't think Vayhi Or. He spoke Vayhi Or. And so when we speak, we're like God. We can actually create. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful idea. So you guys are all saying excellently. Could just leave right now. But I have 10 more minutes. So I want to teach you a beautiful idea from Shimshon Pinchas. And he says the following. That if you look in the Torah, vidoy does not actually mean this. Asha, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I did this wrong. No. Vidoy, there's only one time it comes up, and vidoy ma'aser. Vidoy ma'aser means, I declare that I took my ma'aser. And you say, Hashem, I did everything I needed to do. There's nothing I did wrong. The psukim don't say anything about me saying I did some ashamnu, baganu, gazalnu, and yet we call it vidoy. So how can it be vidoy if it's not about me doing something wrong? So it must be that the essence of vidoy is not about ashamnu, baganu, not about me doing things wrong. The essence of vidoy is about me talking to Hashem. Just the fact that I am speaking yashir, between me and God, that's vidoy. And that's the essence of what we're doing on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, if we're just between me and myself saying, I sin, ashamnu, baganu, gazalnu, but we don't realize we're talking to Hashem, then we miss the whole point. Right? And we don't understand what it's all about. Right? The whole idea of vidoy is in my own personal words, like the Rambam saying, you have to make it personal. You can't just read the Siddur. In my own personal words, I have to think to myself, what did I do wrong? Why did I mess up? How do I become better? And talk to Hashem. And you know what? Not just talk to Hashem. You must dive into Hashem. You have to pray to Hashem. In the Kabbalistic works, they say that on Yom Kippurim, tons and tons of blessing are coming down, but only if we call out to Hashem like an ima, like an abba. And ideally you should be crying, right? You can't cry, that's okay, but we're begging Hashem, we're talking to Hashem because we feel so close to Him, right? And on Rosh Hashanah we didn't even have words, it was just like a shofar, like a cry without words. Yom Kippur, we get to the next level, where we're doing vidui. And we're saying we messed up, Hashem. But the main thing is to talk to Hashem. And I'll take it one step further. Why is it that every year we go in and we have the same list? We have, okay, A, I spoke Lashon Hara. And I didn't say brachot. And I wasn't nice to my mom. Why is it that I have the same list every year and nothing really changes? So Yosef told us, one, because I'm trying to do too many things. Good, he's right. I would say B, second reason, because, let me just get another cup of water. Who needs water? Who needs water? Yosef, you need some water? Water. You're good. Anybody need some water? Rebbe, it's like a mikvah. Before Yom Kippur, we have to go to the mikvah.
Water.
Oh, you go. So, Yeah. Yala, Rebbe. So, mit yala, bonitarir. So, A, we need to take small goals. And B, we need to have what's called a game plan. You guys know what a game plan is? If you don't have a plan as to how to make things happen, they don't happen. So it can't just be, I'm going to be nicer to my mom. How are you going to be nicer to your mom? Are you going to call her every Erev Shabbat? How are you going to be nicer to your friends? Are you going to stop, you know, waking them up in the middle of the night and blasting music at 2 in the morning? Or are you just, I'm going to be nicer in general. I'm going to stop speaking Lashon Hara. How are you going to stop speaking Lashon Hara? There must be a plan, whatever you choose, right? With this little piece of paper, whatever you decide to do, it can't just be, I'm going to do something, that's it. You need to think of a practical way to make sure it happens, right? Am I right? Or else it won't happen. We'll just go back to our own habits, our old hergelim, because that's where we're used to, unless we break it. We break our habits, okay? But there's a third step. The third step, and this is so crucial. And the third step, my friends, is we need Hashem's help. We can't change ourselves on our own. People think you can just change, I'll write a list, how to stop overeating. It won't work. The only way we can ever really change is if we involve Hashem in the process. We say, Hashem, please help me. I want to change. I don't know how to change. I need your help in changing. Please, Hashem, help me out. And that's the essence of Vidui. That's why Vidui on Yom Kippurim, we do it 10 times. It's all in the Shmona Esrei. It's all as part of the Tefillah. Right? Because without Tefillah, we don't have a chance. Without involving the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're never going to have a chance to really, 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 really change ourselves. Yes, you understand? I know some of the ideas I'm saying may be a little crazy, or a little out there. But I think these are really, really true ideas. I've seen in my own life, when you try to do things without a plan, when you try to do too much, and when you try to do it without a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help, without involving Hashem in the process, it won't happen. And I'll give you one more practical tip. You guys can take it or leave it. But this is what I do. I'll put it like this. We know that Yaakov Avinu and Esav, they were both brothers. So they had the same gene. Right? And what else did they have? The same mother and father. Right? So they should have came out to become very similar people. Right? And yet, Yaakov came out, Yaakov HaTzadik. Right? And Esav HaRasha. Right? So what was it? Why was it that Yaakov came out to be so awesome and Esav came out to be not so great? What was the difference between Yaakov and Esav? Ah, okay, that's my man. That maybe one was going and working on himself through learning Torah, and one was physically out in the fields more and didn't.
And they wanted to raise both of them the same way, and they were in the same way.
Ah, so you're putting the blame on Yitzchak.
But real or different?
No, you're fair. Not blame, but you're saying if they would have raised. Would have realized Esav's strength more, perhaps he would have came out better. It's a beautiful idea. I like it. Not where I'm going for this year, but it's a beautiful idea. But I'm going to give you a different... Yeah? Other ideas? Okay. I'm going to suggest to you a beautiful Torah from the Izbitzer, another Hasidic Rebbe. The Izbitzer says the following. One reason only. That Yaakov Avinu would every day work on himself. He davened to Hashem. They both had the same netiyot, the same proclivity to do good and bad. But one person just naturally went on with life, didn't think too much, didn't work on himself, didn't daven, didn't learn, just went. And that was Esav. And one person named Yaakov worked on himself. And every day did a cheshbon nefesh before he went to bed, thought, how can I become better? And every day when he davened, he talked to God and said, Hashem, how can I become better? What can I do sweeter? How can I... And so Yaakov worked on himself, and so he became Yaakov HaTzadik. And Esav became Esav not a tzaddik. So I suggest to you guys, before you go to bed at night, right? If you can do this, if you get nothing else out of this shir, before you go to bed, try to think to yourself, is there one thing I can do better? Talk to God. Maybe there's one thing in my day that I didn't do so good today, that tomorrow I want to do better, right? And all the great rabbis say, if you do this, you're on the path of slowly becoming a tzaddik. Because you're working on yourself, you're growing. And if you're not going up, you're going down. So to just slowly, every day, just be thinking. Something else you could do at the end of your Shemona Esrei, is what I do very often, there's a paragraph, Elokai Nitzor. You guys know Elokai Nitzor? Yeah? So this is a paragraph which is meant for you to put in your own personal prayers to God.
But
it doesn't matter, before, during, or after. Lo mashane. Originally, I'll explain. At the end of the Shemona Esrei, you have a paragraph. It's called Elokai Nitzor, and it was originally the personal prayer of the people in the Gemara, which they would say. And the rabbis teach us that really that's the best time period to make your own personal prayers for self-growth, for personal growth. So what I try to do at the end of my tefillah, at the end of my Amidah, is just try to think, okay, I daven mincha now. What did I do good from mincha to shacharit that I want to work on? What can I do better? Right? Maybe there's one thing I didn't do so good between shacharit and mincha, and I daven to Hashem. I mitpalel l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. I say, Hashem, please help me get better in this one thing. And then I see every day, slowly, I try to, work on myself one step at a time. Okay? Good. Bezrat Hashem. So to summarize, we'll just put all the ideas together, and then we'll sing one last song. Bezrat Hashem. Yeah, if you could bring it, it'd be awesome. So to summarize, guys, what is the essence of vidui? Chevra, when you're doing... Excellent, talking to Hashem. And when you're doing your vidui on Yom Kippur, what do you have to be doing besides for just talking to Hashem? What else are you doing? Someone besides Yosef. Someone besides Yosef. Chebra. Brothers and sisters, when we're doing our holy vidui, what must we do? Ever. What do we have to do? We have to think about our sins, and we have to dive into Hashem. We need to pray. We need to say, Hashem, we need your help. I can't change. I can't do anything without your help, Hashem. And we need to make our list personal. We need to make our own personal list. Personally, my list is going to be like bigger than this whole notebook. I have a lot of things to work on. But everyone should try to make their own list. That's why we have these days before Yom Kippurim. A big list of everything we want to work on, and a small list, a very small list of one practical thing, which we are for sure, no matter what, going to work on. Right? Could be the smallest thing in the world. Maybe it's just this idea of every night before we go to bed to talk to God, or Shemona Esrei talking to God, whatever it is. But the main thing is that we take one idea upon ourselves so that we won't be the same person by the end of this Yom Kippur as we were last year. B'zrat Hashem. And I bless all of us that we should have a Yom Kippur full of kapara, tahara, and true simcha, closeness to each other, and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zat Hashem, oy v'tam. Let's think of a song. I just want to say goodbye, Bezat Hashem. You guys are doing your own tefillot. What are you guys doing? Which yeshiva?
Yeshiva
Tekotel. I went to Yeshiva Tekotel. Very good. Beautiful. You guys should have an amazing Yom Kippurim. Bezat Hashem. Gmar Chatima Teva, Bezat Hashem. Shana Tova.